I hope so. I hope so. Lots of crazy stuff going on. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Hey, And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, want to remind you, at the bottom of the hour, we will be going to our India feed, and I'll be bringing my testimony over there. We'll be sharing in another remote village area around India, and just sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with people over there. So we encourage you to watch that. That'll be coming at the bottom of the hour. And then stay with us by going to ChosenGenerationRadio.com and the Listen Archives, the show archives. There's a link to our Clout Hub video feed, and you can just click on that, and you'll be able to watch the rest of it live as we move off of TECN and continue on with our social media feeds. And the service goes probably for about another hour after we've gone off air on TECN. So we encourage you to check that out. Well, I'm very excited to have my next guest back with me. She was born, I hope I'm going to get this right. She was born in Russia. She also spent time and has family in Ukraine as well. So she has family relations both in Russia and Ukraine. She is a well-spoken expert in this foreign relations area. And it is my sincere pleasure to bring onto the program Veronica Karolinko. Veronica, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you, sir. It's good to be with you.
Was I close?
very close, sir. Yes, Greg. I was born in Ukraine.
Okay.
And I still have family in Russia and extended family in Ukraine.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
I wouldn't call myself an expert, though. Even though I do follow the news from my former motherland, and I really hope that this war will come to an end soon. But I learn every single day.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and, you know, we can touch on that for a minute or two. Russia has always believed that the Ukraine belonged to them. And every time that the Russian Empire has risen, it has risen first by basically suppressing and making subordinate the Ukrainians. Am I correct in that assessment?
It's a complicated topic, obviously, because Ukraine didn't have its own state in the Western sense of the world for centuries, and the territory was split most of the time, until the Soviet times, I would say. It was split evenly between Russian Empire and then Russian Empire, and it was split between the Hungarian Empire. Austrian-Hungarian Empire, and then some territories belong to Poland, and then there is this Turkish influence on the south. So it's really tough, difficult to say that Ukraine existed really as an independent state, even though there is such thing as ethnic Ukrainians and Ukrainian culture, but it evolved as a result of this interconnected influences from Russia, from the West, which made Ukraine really diverse and very, very susceptible to influences, to outside influences. But Ukraine is obviously, it has been in a very tough place because of that. And Russia indeed saw it as a part of its territory, but culturally, starting with, I don't know, probably 16th, 17th century, Ukraine was very distinct. And Russia really, and I'm sorry, my thoughts are all over the place. what President Putin is saying right now, and the way he's trying to justify the war in Ukraine, is absolutely outrageous, because Ukraine is an independent state. It's been so since 1991, and Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons in exchange for promise to be not to be attacked by right. Russia or by the West. And clearly, Russia violated this this is how it started. And what's happening is absolutely terrifying because just yesterday, Russia yet again attacked Ukrainian infrastructure in the city of Lviv, killing at least four civilians. And it's been ongoing since, February 24th of last year. People die every single day. Ukrainians die.
Talk to me about the... corruption issue, because that's one of the big things that we seem to keep hearing about is, well, yeah, but there's no good guys in this conflict, and Ukraine is just full of and Ukraine, I mean, we can't deny the fact that Ukraine has had a corruption issue. And obviously, the more we know or the more that is exposed, we already knew this, but the more that's exposed about the Biden and Burisma and all of that validates that, yes, there is and has been corruption within Ukraine.
Yes, of course, the corruption is a huge issue. And in fact, my family just traveled to Canada, where our friends from Ukraine settled and found refuge from the war. And they just got from Ukraine, and they say that, yes, indeed, the corruption didn't go anywhere. You'd expect that when your country is attacked so brutally that the local bureaucrats would stop stealing, because it's essential. These resources are essential to for defense purposes, and everything, every hryvnia, everything counts. But because I don't know what can be more sacred, well, I can think of many things that are more sacred, but one of the most sacred things is to protect your country, protect your motherland and your people
sure.
from the unjustified attack from such a brutal enemy. But yeah, they didn't stop. The corruption didn't stop. It's on every level. And they say that the Zelensky wingman just as corrupt as everyone else, which is absolutely appalling. But they say yes, it's still a huge issue, and
so
I wonder
so they're saying that Zelensky is corrupt, or that his people around him are corrupt.
Well,
or both.
They didn't explicitly say, and I haven't seen any
just
reports
asking.
Recently
yeah.
about him personally, but the people who are with him and who make decisions at the highest level of the Ukrainian government still have connections with criminals.
Criminal
and,
entities.
This is entities who, well, make money illegally. And enrich themselves, even though the war is ongoing, and enrich themselves, as I understood it, at the expense of, well, again, us, because America is the biggest supporter of the Zelensky regime. We know that, and we supply them with mostly weapons, of course, military equipment, but we do provide financial support to keep the government afloat. And it's being taken advantage of, unfortunately, and it's a very sad thing. But at the same time, the corruption should not be rooted out with war, and it's not the way to end the corruption. And it does not justify Putin is not saying that we're attacking Ukraine because we want to root out the corruption, or I'm not saying that we should stop supporting Ukraine because they steal our money. What we need to do is people and Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene and Rand Paul earlier said that we really need to audit every single dollar and every single piece of equipment that was sent to them. We need to know where it goes and what happens to that. And I think it's essential to us as taxpayers and just good people, because we do have good intentions. I believe most of us, Americans who do support us, supporting Ukraine, right? But at the same time, we want to our taxpayer dollars to be used properly.
Let me jump in for just a minute. So, because, and I, again, you know, evil doesn't justify evil, but mm-hmm. I think from a perspective, we need to also recognize, as you said, there's corruption that's happening around Zelensky. We don't know if Zelensky's corrupt or not corrupt. There are some who say that he is. President Trump, during his administration, had a lot of bad actors around mm-hmm. him. There were a lot of bad actors in his White House. I know personally of a friend of mine that worked for the State Department, and it was the Trump liaison, the person who was in charge of assigning President Trump's appointees and being an advocate for them in each division, mm-hmm. that was the one that was responsible for working with those working against President Trump for his termination. As soon as she's the one that exposed him as being a Trump appointee in the State Department, and as soon as that happened, he was tossed out. Not before, I might add, he witnessed the head of the area that he was assigned to in a meeting stand in front of everyone and say, if you're given any direction from the White House, from Trump, don't listen to it. We don't do what he says. He's not in charge. We don't march to his orders.
Mm-hmm. Well, we see it happen with Dr. Anthony Fauci, for example.
Absolutely.
During COVID, unfortunately, but again, it didn't mean that Trump was a bad president. He did make many mistakes, and he did appoint people who shouldn't be occupying high places that they did. And I really hope that he learned his lesson. But again, he was fantastic, and I really hope that he will make it president again.
Yeah, no, I think that he is would be the man for the job. Again, it's just a matter of making sure. But I just want people to understand mm-hmm. that there was a lot of corruption around the president. People who continued to act corruptly, which is why he faced the impeachment and the Russiagate and all the things that he faced. That all didn't happen in a bubble. It all happened because there were bad actors. We have congressmen and senators who continue to enrich themselves in the same way that the bad actors in Ukraine and Russia. And by the way, that's another piece. Putin is not some good guy riding in on a white horse to rescue anyone. Putin is former KGB. And really, former is probably an inaccurate statement, because the KGB continues to exist today. They're just known as the Russian Mafia.
Yes, sir. And, well, Putin's corruption is notorious. I think it's I think it occupies currently the first place in some of the ratings for what they are worth. But consider this, Russia is the richest country in the world in terms of natural resources. They have everything, starting from fantastic soils for agriculture and finishing with diamonds and gold and gas and oil. And they have this amazing, absolutely amazing nature, providing them with all sorts of, well, not all sorts of food, but fantastic land to raise cattle and everything.
And our uranium.
And woods and every single, everything that's on this periodical table, it's in Russia. But at the same time, it's one of the poorest countries in Europe. It's absolutely appalling what they've done to their own people. And again, judging from what I see with my family and their community, and they live just about 100 kilometers from south of from Moscow. It's Middle Ages. It's absolutely, I mean, probably the poorest farmer here in Iowa, I don't know, would be one of the richest farmers in Russia. And it shouldn't be like that. It should right. not be like that. And then, you know, they are such a huge, well, not anymore, of course, but they used to be for many years exporters of natural gas and oil, and Europe completely depended on them. And they had... Nobody actually even knows the concrete sum that they made on the deals trading with trading their gas and oil to Europe. But it's unbelievable how huge these numbers are. But they did not really invest them into their infrastructure,
no.
into their industry, into their intellectual services, and so on. I mean, Singapore, look, it's a tiny, tiny country. It used to be a fisherman's village. And now it's one of the most prosperous countries in the world. And it became so within a matter of a couple of decades. That's all it took for them.
Right.
And
then, well, no, the well, that, and that's the whole issue with communism and Marxism, is right. that it doesn't get passed down to the people. That's a lie. That's the deception. It stays at the top, and the people at the top live this crazy life, and the people at the bottom absolutely suffer. And there's no middle class. There's no bridge mm-hmm. in between. And that's, you know, what that's about. All right. I want to get back to, we've only got a few minutes left to get into this. So your prognosis with regards to what's taking place in Russia right now, is there an internal war? Is there a power struggle? Is Putin actually in trouble? What do you think?
I think he is in trouble because he cannot control the groups that he himself created, such as Wagner. We see what happened the other week. It was June 23rd to 24th. He created this powerful monster, the private mercenary group, and the chief of Wagner, Yevgeny Prigozhin. He is a very close ally to Putin. He used to be his very close friend, and he was dubbed Putin's chef because he got all these contracts to feed the Kremlin, to feed the military. So he's obviously a very, very wealthy and powerful man. And with his mercenaries, he plays a huge role. He played a huge role in several African countries and in Syria. And then people in Moscow took this rebellion very seriously. Many of them fled Moscow right away, just like Putin did. And they really tried to protect the capital. So look what happened just in a matter of a year and a half. Russia started with trying to capture Kyiv in 3 days of the invasion, and then they had to defend their own capital from the mercenaries that are presumably controlled by the Ministry of Defense. Well, something went awfully wrong, and I think Putin is very scared, and you see that he is scared, judging by the purges that started in the military. They are kind of very covert, but and we know that every single man in top brass of the Russian military is spied on by the FSB, because Putin is absolutely terrified of treason, because he cannot trust anyone. And again, it's very typical for any dictator. So yes, I do believe that he is in trouble. And I do think that he faces a very tremendous pressure to end this war, because Prigozhin was very frustrated with the effectiveness of Russian offensive and the way the war went, and it is dragging just so unbelievably slow. So I think that many people in Russia and people surrounding Putin are frustrated with that, because they're losing money.
Now, Lviv is the largest city in the northwestern part of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And pretty close to the Polish border, by the way, as well. So we'll have to watch that and see what that, what that looks like. But it's a long, long way from Kiev. It's a long, long way from any of the other, quote unquote, I guess, strategic military positions that are still held by the Ukrainians. So I don't know that I understand the military acumen for going after that particular area. I don't know that I understand why you would bomb that city.
It was a terrorist attack. This is the only explanation that I have. It was just to terrorize Ukrainians and just to break their morale, I suppose. Because, like you said, I completely agree with you. It doesn't make any sense military.
There's no, you know, there's no strategic advantage. Now I'll tell you, and I keep saying this, and I mentioned this to you when we talked a couple of weeks ago. You put Prigozhin into Belarus. If you're gonna mount an assault on Poland, if the hardliners in Russia have said, you know what, eventually we'll figure out Ukraine, but in the meantime, we want Lithuania, we want Latvia, we want Estonia, we want to bring these satellites back under our control, and we've got to get into Europe. And Poland is the gateway into Europe. You build an army in Belarus, and you're going to have Lviv would be a staging ground for a large-scale invasion into Poland out of that Ukrainian territory. And quite frankly, with everything that's going on in Ukraine right now, the Ukrainians aren't going to fight for Lviv. They don't care. Lviv doesn't really, legitimately speaking, they're going to hold on to the southern end of Ukraine, and they don't really care about what's happening in the northwest right now because they can't spread their forces that thin. They need the port cities. They need Odessa. They need the areas from Odessa over, what is that, Mira something or other. My map's not giving me the right name, but
they're in Nikolaev and Kherson in the south of south of the country.
Yeah.
So considering your the front line is way to the east of the country, and it's 1,000 kilometers long. And yes, Lviv is completely.
It's just so far off the radar.
Talking about the threats of Russia invading Poland from Belarus. Well, there is just the small obstacle for that, is that Poland is a member of the NATO, and an attack on Poland would be considered an attack of the rest of 30 NATO members. So it would mean a start of the World War. I am not so sure that Putin is ready for that. And then I'm thinking, I told you that before, maybe I'm over conspiratorial, but
I think my prognosis is pretty conspiratorial, but go ahead.
Well, it's just considering the ties between Vladimir Putin and the globalist entities such as WEF and his connections with people like Henry Kissinger and et cetera. You know, I think that he's maybe part of this team that works for our military industrial complex. He's a designated bad guy, you know.
Who's and that?
Putin, Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. Okay, I guess he is. I mean, I see what you're saying. He is a designated bad guy, but he really is a bad guy.
He's not just a ghost
bad guy. He is really a bad guy. You know, I mean. Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. I mean, he's not. There's the problem, and then we got to jump because I got to get to India. But he's no longer the face of communism as he once was. Xi is a greater threat from that perspective than Putin is. The CCP Absolutely. Is a greater threat and has greater influence. And quite frankly, Joe Biden and whoever's pulling his strings, which I believe is Obama, is a greater threat to the United States of America than any of those other two together. Unfortunately. Veronica, we've got to jump. This is great. I'm going to get you back. We're going to have more conversation like this because this is, it's just, it's so important for folks. I want us to be thinking about what is going on. We've got to take, as Veronica was doing there, we've got to take the bigger view, and then we've got to zero back down, and we've got to really be able to take in all of what is taking place, and then we can have a prayer position and an active position in speaking to our representatives about, hey, we want to know what is going on. And as you said, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think, is right. We have got to be figuring out where's every dollar going, where's every weapon going, who's got it, who's handling it, and what are they doing with it, and keep everybody involved and engaged in this honest. Veronica, thank you. Thanks for being with me.
God bless you.
All right, God bless you. All right, we're going to take a break, a short break, but we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking, we're going to be in India, and we'll be back with that. I'll be breaking into the commercial break, but I'm going to take a quick one right after this. Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com, coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S.